The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Demons speak to Jesus here in the Gospel, and they say, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" It's kind of comforting to know that there will be, at some point, an appointed time. That at the end of all things, the kingdom of darkness will be defeated, right? So don't waste your time now fighting for a loser. Kingdom of darkness will be defeated. And the role of the evil spirits is going to be made known. It's comforting to know that there will be an appointed time, but until then, there is a struggle. And it's a struggle that God seems to will. So I thought this morning we could take a look at just one reason why. First of all, demons and their behavior can't be understood. Because evil doesn't make any sense. You can't learn about demons the same way that you can learn about the Blessed Trinity. However, we can learn about them from observing what they do, and we can learn a couple important things right here from observing their behavior in this gospel. Two things in particular. Number one, they know who Jesus is. And number two, they know that he has absolute authority over them. They can do absolutely nothing without his permission. He will decide whether they are driven out or not. He will decide where they go. They can't negotiate with Jesus as though they were negotiating with an equal. And yet, they try to do just that. They try to negotiate with God, and God seems to agree with them. He said, "If you drive us out, be sure to send us into the pigs." And so that's what he does. Very mysterious, that. But if you can understand that, I think you can understand the whole gospel, okay? You can understand that. That's really the key. Because one of the best ways to understand the New Testament is to understand that it reflects events in the Old Testament. Now, there's one time and one time only in the Old Testament in which the devil tries to negotiate with God. Do you know what that time is? It's the book of Job. And God says, "My servant Job is faithful to me." And the devil says, "If I could tempt him, he would curse you to your face. Let me test him. Let me tempt him." And God gives him permission. Why does God allow the evil spirit to torment his servant Job? Well, God wants to put his love to the test. Does Job really love God? Or does Job just love the stuff God gives? Does Job really trust God in adversity? Or does he really just love God's gifts, like his health and family and possessions? And will he curse God for taking those gifts away? So God allows Job to be tested. Same thing's happening here in this gospel. These evil spirits are sent into a herd of swine. Now, a herd is 2,000 pigs. Many, many families, in fact, probably the entire town, depended on the sale of those pigs for their livelihood. Pigs were sold in the autumn. This gospel takes place in the summer. And they just lost all their pigs. Not going to have any income now for more than a year. God is clearly testing all these poor people. Why does God test all these poor people? I'm not really sure. It's only one thing I'm sure of. They failed the test. They astonish us all, and they come out and they say, Jesus, we beg you, get out of here. Leave us alone, right? Leave our district. They fail the test, and the gospel reports this passage in the hopes that you and I will not fail the test. Because in our Christian lives, we never really arrive. We're always struggling. You know, you always feel like a beginner when you're trying to follow Jesus Christ. You always feel like a beginner. And wouldn't it be great if we could just arrive, you know, just arrive at some kind of state in which we passed all of God's tests, and then we could just enjoy life straight through to the end. Wouldn't that be great? Well, God doesn't seem to think so, because he lets us be tested and tested and tested again. And you want to know why? It's because the cross is going to carry you to heaven. That's why. Don't think about putting down your cross, not until you draw your last breath. Not until you draw your last breath. God will test us and test us again, because that cross is going to carry us to heaven, right? No cross, no salvation. We need that cross. But we go to pray sometimes as though God exists to make our dreams come true, as though he exists to fulfill all of our wishes. When the truth of the matter is, the reverse is the case. God has dreams, and God has a will, and he's hoping, begging, pleading with us to cooperate with him. And one thing you can be absolutely sure of, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot improve on God's plan. And so he does at least allow in his passive will all things to come to pass in our lives, not so that our dreams will come true, but rather that the deepest longings of our hearts might one day be fulfilled. If only we'll persevere, if only we'll trust. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do just that. Holy martyrs of Rome, pray for us.